You're listening to DraftKings Network.
What's going on, guys? Ellie from Copper 9 here. You might not know who I am, but I've got nothing better to do. So watch the Soccer Cooligans talking all things football, politics, music, culture. Swipe up, click the link, do
that'll
something.
Do, that'll perfect. Do, that'll do.
Let's go.
Whoa. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another Prem Show live on.
If you are only listening, you missed 35 minutes of fixing the mics on Twitch.
Okay. Tech support is part of the programming now. You know, you know, sometimes people want to see some, BTS. Okay. And I'm not talking about the K-pop group. All right. They want to see.
Although we might be. You should check out our Instagram just in case. I mean, our Twitch just in case.
You know what? Our next special guest. Hey, what do you think of the Harry Kane situation, BTS? Weigh in.
And please do it in song and dance. Thank you.
Yes, we were sorting out some tech issues. I was trying some new things, some fun stuff, and it all fell apart. But now we figured it out. So hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Prem Show. My name is Christian Polanco.
I am Alexis Guerrero.
We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show right here on Twitch every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
Let's go. We also happen to be the gulliest, but I think you already know that. And we also happen to be the most technology backwards, you know, podcast. I was thinking of something there.
I blame OBS and all the confusing settings and all this other stuff. It could be a bit challenging, a bit overwhelming, but we figured it out. And this is how you learn. You fail publicly. You know, we've done stand-up comedy for years. We failed in front of others for a long time. So it's the same.
This is
no
what
different.
You do. You put yourself out there, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. Speaking of comedy, hopefully we could take a second to just say R.I.P. to a legend, and someone who said the Cooligans. Norm MacDonald passed away today after a very private, very secret battle with cancer that no one knew about. I didn't know about it.
Neither did I.
Apparently, he had been dealing with it for years. But I posted a clip on Cooligans and on my personal social media of the first time I did a live comedy set. The first time I did a comedy set was on Gotham Comedy Live, which used to air on the Access channel, which, you know, I don't even know if that's still around. But yeah, I was super nervous. It's probably going back about this is actually the first year of Cooligans. It was probably going back five and a half years. I was super nervous, not nervous that I was going to bomb or whatever, just didn't know what to expect. They kept saying, like, look, we might cut your set down to six. We might have you go the full eight. Just be prepared to do six, but have an even better joke ready to add in case you go eight. Mm. You know what I mean? Which is, like, not the way you want to go into a set. You want to end on your big joke. So, you know, typically you'll have, like, well, if I get the eight, then I'll just throw some other stuff in there. Christian was there. Actually, you can hear him laughing in the background, which is one of my favorite memories. Because as a comic, you want to know the other comics are laughing. That's how you know it's good. And I could pick Christian's laugh out. So the whole time I'm like, all right, that joke didn't hit. He didn't laugh. All right, that joke hit. He laughed. But I guess you could play it. This is the intro that he gave. I'll give a little bit of a background story, which I don't think I've ever told on the show. Whenever you go to do stand-up, the host of the show will typically come up to you before you go up and say, hey, what do you want me to say? Like, what's your credit? Like, oh, I got this thing on HBO, or I got this thing that I'm about to do, or I'm known for X. Like, oh, I'm the whatever cooking guy on YouTube, whatever it is. Obviously he didn't do it himself, his handler. And this is after like a 2.5 hour one-to-one conversation with Norm. He only liked me. He didn't like anyone else from the cast that night. He just came straight up to me. We started talking. We talked about sports for two and a half hours. And then he goes to his green room and the producer comes down. He goes, all right, we need your credit for Norm. And I said, oh, you could tell him to say he's one of the Cooligans, which Christian and I had just decided would be like the thing we get people to say,
right?
He's one of the Cooligans. And he goes, great. Writes it down. And he goes, great. And everyone else comes back about 5 minutes later. He's like, Alexis, yeah, Norm doesn't know what that is. And I said, oh, it's like a podcast and a YouTube channel. And like, we do videos and we do live events. It's just like soccer and comedy together. And he goes, all right, what is it again? I go, it's one of the Cooligans. He's like, one of the Cooligans. Comes, leaves. comes back. He goes, Norm thinks you're messing with him. He's not going to say it. I go, what? He goes, he thinks you're pulling a prank on him. He thinks it's a swear word or something. He's not going to say it. I go, dude, it's not a swear word. I pulled up our Instagram. I pulled up everything. I go, dude, it's real. The Cooligans. I'm one of the Cooligans. And he goes, all right. He writes it down on the big cork board, which I still have to this day. And he leaves. He comes back just before we're supposed to go upstairs to start filming. And he's like, look, he rolled his eyes. He doesn't think it's real. He thinks you made a website and Instagram to mess with him. And he's going to say something that's bad. So he's not going to say it. So just be prepared because he's probably not going to say it. So I think second or third that night. I'm third. And again, they're telling us like you might do six, get ready to go at six. Like we're going to light you. They give you a minute and a half, minute, 30 seconds, get off because it's live, right? Get off stage. So just before I go up, I don't know if you could play. Will they be able to hear it?
This next comedian you probably know as one of the Cooligans. They fucking do know you. Okay. I lost $20. He's a funny motherfucker. Here he is, Alexis Guerrero. Give him a hand, everybody.
Thank you.
People always ask me, what did he say in my ear? And I've never really said it because it was like a private thing. Whatchamacallit. He saw us do our act beforehand. So in what he said in my ear, he goes, you're going to kill it or something like that. He was like basically intimating, like, you're going to do great. Like you're the best one here. Right. And then he goes, and I'm not giving you any fucking money. And yeah, then he walked off stage, which is why I'm laughing. Because he said, I just lost $20. We had no bet. He just did that as a joke. But he wanted to make sure he knew he ain't giving me no $20. He knew enough to say that. And to end the story, Robert from LA said, did you get the whole 8 minutes? They stretched me for the first time in like probably a year in the past year that they've done the show. They did the show for like 3 years. It's probably been 12 months. I was the first comic to be asked to do 10 full minutes. So when I got to about the minute and a half, instead of holding up the minute and a half, they held up a sign that said stretch, which for every comic knows, like, oh, somebody, the next person's late. Just keep going. Just keep telling jokes. Yeah. Stay up there.
And Alexis is like, I haven't done that since grade school.
Yeah, stretch. Like, I'm like, that. What do you think I'm doing standing here? This is my stretching. This is how out of shape I am. But then so that was about a 5 minutes. I got to about 7 minutes thinking, here comes the minute for the eight. And they held up another sign that said stretch. So I ended up going for a full another two more minutes, and then I got the 1 minute sign, which I kind of figured was about 8.5 minutes. It ended up being right around nine. So I did about 10 minutes and a few seconds, something crazy like that. It was really cool. It was one of the greatest moments in my career. RIP to Norm MacDonald, who is an absolute, well, him too, depending on what happened on social media this week. but RIP to an absolute legend. One of my favorite comedians ever.
Yeah, I mean, Norm, I mean, a lot of people remember him from, obviously, SNL, a lot of Dirty Work, a lot of the films.
Dirty Work is such a great film.
But especially when I was in junior high school and high school, I was obsessed with Conan O'Brien, and Norm was always a guest on Conan. Always hilarious. Always. I mean,
he had this thing where he was like Conan O'Brien's like arch nemesis / favorite guest.
It's just like he's one of the few guests that was able to make the host uncomfortable, but not enough to not get asked back on the show. Like it was always so funny that you just couldn't at that time before, you know, YouTube and everything, you couldn't find that level of like cringeworthy humor, but that you wanted more of, and that is what Norm was. Just so many people were fans, but as stand-up comics, like, everybody has like a favorite moment or joke that they just like were blown away by.
Do you have a favorite Norm MacDonald bit?
The moth story that he told Conan, the moth story that made that went nowhere, that was super long, that made no sense.
Yeah.
That was like it's perfect Norm MacDonald of just like, man, I thought it was gonna go somewhere, and then the place it went to wasn't, I had no expectation, but I'm like, that was amazing that he was able, because it's almost like I remember doing a there's this exercise I remember doing in improv that was essentially like you like passing along like the next rhyme. Like somebody did one line of a rap, and then the next person had to I think like say the next word, but it would rhyme or whatever. And then we did a version of the exercise where you had to intentionally not rhyme. So you would go, you would say the bar, and then the next person had to intentionally not rhyme the thing that the last person said. And it's harder to not rhyme than it is to rhyme, where because your brain is so used to and prepared of like and conditioned to do this a certain way. And that's sort of how I felt with Norm's comedy, where it was like we know the beats of comedy and we know where it's supposed to go. And he was always able to take it to a place that didn't structurally make sense in comedy, but you still laugh. So obviously a terrible, terrible loss. RIP Norm MacDonald and his family, but the comedy community deeply, you know, appreciates and values a guy like Norm. You know, he was one of the first to like really, whether he hosted shows, events, awards, he just was always himself. He didn't care about what the repercussions were.
Yeah.
And you know, whether it was, there was like,
he always went a different direction of what everyone else was going. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He, my favorite joke of his was the one where, you know, he said like where, you know, the devil speaks to people is from a really old special. It's probably from like the late 90s where he said he's like, wouldn't it be crazy? He was like, you know, these people like he's like, you know, hey, devil, you know, I did what you told me to do. I chopped my family. Yeah, you know, I chopped up my family and they're all in these duffel bags. Well, what do I do now? And he was like, you know, and the devil's like, what? You didn't realize it was me, your friend Steve, you know? Oh, I thought you knew we were playing a joke. Okay, he's like, what? He's like, no, my family's in the duffel bag under the stairs, you know? And it keeps going. And like, you know, that night is one of the greatest because everyone came up to him. That night of that taping was, as the Cosby shit started to really take off, and they were like, whatever you do. And it was still one of those things where it was polarizing. It wasn't like it is now where it's kind of obvious. You know what I mean? It was still kind of in the beginning stages where people were like, wait, is this real? Is this not? He's a legend. How could you say that about him? So they said, whatever you do, just don't joke about Cosby. And he was like, wait, we could swear? And they were like, yeah. And he's like, but they're like, just don't talk about Cosby. He's like, yeah, no, obviously not. No. He's like, I don't even have a joke about Cosby. I'm just making sure. Am I allowed to swear? And the owner of the club is like, yes, Norm, you're allowed to swear. He's like, all right, great. And they're like, great, all right. And they looked at us like, we had to transcribe all our jokes. We had to write them all out. So like, we saw all your acts. Just don't add anything about Cosby. And we're like, man, none of us are diverging from what we've written. It's all we know, right? And Norm's like, no, of course not. Of course not. Goes up there. The entire opening is the most perfectly written Cosby joke. It's the one about him being a hypocrite. It's just, if you haven't seen it, see it. It's amazing. But it was like, even he set that joke up from the green room. Like people, that joke was, the premise of it started in the green room when everyone said, don't do it. And he was like, no, of course not. I don't even worry about it. I'm asking about the swearing. Like he already, like the people laughing in the back were laughing for a different reason than everyone else. And that's how good that joke was. And that's just who he was as a person. So, exactly. Stupka knows the joke. It's absolutely insane. Just what a great, I've never seen anything. Actually, you know, he told me something secret that day, which now that he's passed, I feel like I can say it. He lied to the owner of the comedy club. I've never even said this to another comic. He lied to the owner of the comedy club that he did his first act in. The first time he ever got on stage, it was taped. And the owner kept it for some reason, kept a video of his first performance ever. Mm-hmm. And he lied to him and said he was doing a documentary about his life so that he could get the video of his first ever set. And he says he has it. He's watched it, but he doesn't know what to do with it. Well, I kind of want to let people know it's there. It's in his possession so that they can hopefully put it as part of some documentary they're going to make about him or whatever. So they know he has it. But he told me that in confidence. He was like, yeah, don't say anything because I lied and I don't want anyone to know I have it.
I mean,
and I was like, how'd you look? And he was like, He goes, I was just like, ugh. He's like, I was very skinny. And I was like, bleh. He just kept doing that.
I'm sure the, who is it? The comedy club owner that where he did his first set in, there's no way he's still around, right? There's no way.
Apparently he was when I filmed that.
Wow. Okay.
But he like treasures this tape. So he refused. It was, I believe it was in Vancouver or in Montreal. He would refuse to send him the tape. And then he begged him and said, look, we need it for a documentary. I'll send it back to you. It's a VHS. So that's in Norm's possession. So it's in his belongings. So hopefully someone can find that if anyone is going to do a documentary on him, which I guarantee you they will, because he's that much of a legend.
Okay. Yeah, be interesting to see. All right.
Look at this. We're breaking news here.
Okay.
On the podcast. We're breaking microphones.
We're here,
and news.
We're here to read Norm MacDonald's will to everybody on the stream.
We are the executors of the will. You want to know what's so annoying? This is how Jersey trash my in-laws are, by the way. No one listens to this. And if they do, whatever. They're going to send me an email anyway or a text. I blocked them all. They say they got mad at each other about some will that they're a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And in an argument, they were like, I should be the executive of the will. And they're like, no, I should be the executive of the will. And I'm just sitting there eating like chicken in the house. And they're like, I should be the executive. I should be the executive. And as it's calmed down, I go, it's executor. You execute the wishes of the will, not the fucking executive of the will. You group of garbage human beings.
I am the CEO of this will. I don't know what you mean.
Lord okay. Martin said it looked like I handed you a cup because I put mine down and you picked it up.
All right. R.I.P. Norm MacDonald. Let's keep it moving and try to bring that joy that he brought to the world, to mm-hmm. the soccer community. Okay. One quick thing. If you're watching this on Twitch, you might see a Columbus Crew kit with a bunch of scribbles on it. This is a Columbus Crew 2020 MLS Cup, signed by every player that won MLS Cup of the Columbus Crew last season. We're doing a giveaway. We have a couple giveaways to do over the next. We have a bunch of MLS Cup jerseys from the last MLS Cup winners that are all autographed, and we're going to be doing this one. Is going to be given away on Twitter after the stream is over. Head over to Twitter and you'll see how to.
Paolo said Norm MacDonald signed it. No,
imagine. But no, everybody's here. Everybody who won MLS Cup last year. If you're a Columbus Crew fan or know a Columbus Crew fan, this is where you know, if they want this, just follow us on Twitter @SoccerCooligans, and you'll get an opportunity to win that. Okay,
which is huge. Do you know how long it took us both to like, you know, sign that?
Right. Yeah,
as all the players,
we had to get everybody. We're like, hey, yo, Derek Etienne, send me a picture of your signature.
Yeah, I know that sounds weird, but trust us, it's for a good cause.
Okay, put your social security number with it, all right? Just, we're doing...
Just real quick, off the top of your head, what's your mother's maiden name?
Come on, this is really important. I thought we were cool.
Oh, so you don't want to tell me the name of your first pet ever? All right.
Wow.
Not even the house, not even the street you grew up on. Wow. I thought we knew each other.
So we're going to be giving away a couple MLS Cup champion jerseys that are all autographed. It's absolutely insane that we even have these. So if that's something you're into, make sure you follow us on Twitter and stay tuned on all our social channels, because we have a couple other teams all signed by all the players. I think you might be interested. Okay. First up, what are we doing? Champions League? Return to Champions League?
Why don't we talk about... We could talk about Champions League, or we could just talk about what's happened in Premier League over the weekend.
All right. We'll start there. We'll recap.
Why don't we talk about something both of the teams we like are involved in? So not the Champions League.
Okay. This is probably one of the most biased shows. This is my... Besides Arsenal Fan TV, which is just slightly less biased than Arsenal Fan TV.
This is slightly less biased than my YouTube channel, which, you know, if you're an Arsenal fan, more important than Arsenal Fan TV. Now I'm just saying.
Okay.
How do you feel about Everton's big win over the weekend?
Boy, do I feel great. Okay.
Actually, was it over the weekend? Wasn't it like 2 days ago?
It was Monday. It was yesterday.
Well, when people are hearing it.
Right. It felt great to see week in, week out. We got to see Everton play in preseason. It was a little underwhelming, to say the least. We sort of expected a little bit more. But this is...
They won a trophy, but...
It counts, all right? Nobody knows what material it's made of, but it's a trophy. Everton's start to the year, I think, is very surprising. With the way they ended the season, you know, they had a good start last year and won their first four games. I didn't expect a repeat of that. They didn't really sign... They had no real big signings. James Rodriguez.
They might have the best deal of the season so far.
Right, and that we're obviously
performance
talking
about, per pound.
Okay, well
Damari Gray, bro,
stepping on a scale. What do you mean?
I mean, what they paid, like in pounds, it was like $1.5 million.
They paid something 1.4, 1.3 million pounds for...
That's nothing.
Damari Gray, which is what a great deal. Future ex-skeleton just said that Andros Golasso. My man, Android Townhouse. That was...
Oh, wow, we're using government on our show now, boy.
Love it. When we saw him in preseason, there was one shot that he took. He was playing against Millonarios. He took a shot, a left-footed strike that hit the cross. It's the crossbar, hit the post. But we're pretty close to the field when we're watching this, and we're just like, yo, this dude got a left foot, an absolute cannon.
It made a thwank sound that you don't hear. You remember like when the kid was like a monster threw a dodgeball and it missed you, but it hit the wall behind you and made that like boing sound. You know what I'm talking about? That's the sound that this ball made against the crossbar. Where the kind of thing where like the Millonarios goalkeeper looked back, he was like, thank God I didn't put my hand up for that. Yeah.
So, and he did it again. And it was not only the goal was incredible. If you haven't seen it, Andros Townsend, just absolute banger. Nick Pope is, he was calling to the Pope that day because it was that brutal.
Some holy.
But I've absolute banger. And this seems to be I want to say he has a Arjen Robben type of movement where he cuts in from the right to the left. And I think a lot of times people maybe don't expect this level of a strike from him. But boy, they gave him too much space and it was an absolute banger. So,
he definitely made him pay for, you know, not really coming up and stepping up as he had the ball. He was like, oh, yeah, I don't think I got this range.
So, but then.
And then if you didn't see it, he just barely loops it over. A lot of power. Absolute incredible shot. Thank God he's not doing it for Tottenham anymore.
Right. So so that was a great goal. But then also the goal from Damari Gray after an incredible pass from Abdoulaye Doucouré. So overall, just really impressive. I did not think Everton would be this good. I didn't think they would have the same start that they had the year prior, especially not having James there. I don't know what's going on with James. He's clearly stuck there. They can't get rid of him. I don't know if he wants. I'm hearing he doesn't want to play. I'm hearing he does want to play. I'm hearing Rafa doesn't like him. I have no idea, but I don't understand.
You're hearing your fiance say, stop talking about James Rodriguez. You're hearing lots of things.
So you hear all of this. And so you don't, you think that is enough turmoil that would lead to Everton not having this good a start, but 10 points tied for first, you know, or in fourth place based on goal differential, but just two goals back when it comes to goal differential. Everton has scored more than two or more goals in every single game this season. Yes, they have not played the toughest competition, but they're still, you know, towards the end of the year, last year, they weren't winning the games that they should on paper win against some of these teams. And I think the credit has to be given to Rafa Benitez. Rafa seems to have...
I was going to say, your most important signing was Rafa Benitez. This is... This is the Rafa Benitez effect. I got to be honest, though. Boring. Boring style of play. I mean, this is... It's not pragmatic.
I wouldn't say that. Boring is excessive because...
No, it's lackluster.
I mean, look,
it's not exciting.
It's...
You're going to have to say yes to one of these because you can't say this is electric.
You're basically saying... I think it has to do with the players themselves, too, because you're saying... You think if Pep Guardiola came to Everton with the same exact roster, Everton will all of a sudden be an exciting team to watch? I don't know.
I think they were more exciting last year.
I disagree because it's hard to ignore the last like 20 games of the season last year. They were
Future
really bad.
Skeleton said, "I heard Rafa's jealous of how hot he is about James Rodriguez." sit your cute ass down. You ain't playing with that nice ass of yours.
Future ex-skeleton said, "I trade you Rafa ball for Nuno ball, though." Okay. Nuno ball, a little different. Tottenham took a tough loss against the former Arsenal invincible Patrick Vieira coming to the Premier League and really just not letting it go. You know, that rivalry.
What my man said?
What did he say?
He goes, "I don't know what it's like to lose to Tottenham."
That's why, you know what? There's a great interview with Thierry Henry where they kind of asked him the same question about like what were the matches with Tottenham like or whatever. And he's like, "I don't know. I never lost to them," which is just such a great, like, everybody thinks it'll be rivalries, but it was so one-sided for such a long time.
I call those the good old days, boy. Because everything done changed over the last 4 or 5 years, man.
Yeah. Everton in a good spot. What a surprise. But boy, I mean, yes, we can start with Arsenal got their first victory in the Premier League.
Oh, boy, did we.
I mean, it feels like it's been ages.
Oh, boy, did we. Did we fumble over the line and score a goal?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But did we hold on to that for dear life? Yes. Did we score a goal? Uh-huh. And did we take home 3 points? Uh-huh. That's it. I know it was against Norwich, but this is the beginning of the turn, of the change. We're done. We turned that corner. We're not that team from the first three losses of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? We're different now, okay? We're going into high school, a whole new person. Nobody knows us here.
I don't even know if you believe yourself, dog. This is...
Maybe I'm just trying to say loud enough where they hear me.
We're called a lousy human vassal. We're calling it, quote-unquote, grit, all right?
Yeah, all right? I mean, did it look like a Mr. Bean episode? Is that how we scored? maybe, but we're here now. I'll take those 3 points. Takehiro Tomiyasu looked good.
Yeah, so I didn't
watch a fan favorite.
I didn't watch the game, mainly because I couldn't watch the game. What was up with Peacock? Peacock, like, collapsed.
Yeah, how was it that people couldn't watch it, but all I did was sort of like restart it and it worked for me.
It ended up working on the NBC Sports app or something, but I was trying to, I didn't know that it was working there until maybe about 30 minutes into the game because I saw a tweet, but I was like, how is Peacock collapsing when you just really need it? No, most people only have the service for Premier League and nothing else.
Yeah.
And if
this happened on a Monday, no one would care.
And then the issue was that the Arsenal game wasn't working, but like, which game was? I think Brighton-Brentford. I'm like, I don't want to watch this.
That's the wrong one.
I'm like, I'm not into this. It was rough and frustrating. So I didn't get to see that game, but I did watch the Manchester United Newcastle game. Brentford was working. Which was the Brentford was one of the some of the games were working, but the Arsenal one did not.
Let me tell you this. From someone who watched Arsenal, I'm very happy with Takahiro Tomiyasu. Mm-hmm. Very happy with Aaron Ramsdale. I know I said, what are we doing? But you saw him
instead of
He started. He took over basically from the rumor is he's taking over the number one from Bern Leno, which I've been, you know, I've been saying let's get rid of Bern Leno for a hot minute. So that was nice to see. I'm happy about that. I'm happy about Takahiro Tomiyasu. In the second half, obviously, Ainsley Maitland-Niles played in the midfield. He was all right. He was okay. I didn't really see that creativity in advancing the ball forward. He's better than Elneny, but he reminded me of how Elneny plays, which is very, very safe. Takes a couple of chances, but for the most part, passes it back to the defenders. So I did see a lot of that. He was starting next to Lokonga, so I think it was just a little too young in that defensive midfield. But as soon as Partey came in, completely different match. Right. Also, he switched to a 4-3-3 in the second half. Once Arteta did that, Norwich just couldn't handle the overload on the wings, and we were getting chance after chance after chance. Look, 30 chances.
Look at this.
30 chances. Look at
this. Alex is sounding like a good old Sky Sports pundit, overloaded on the wings. Oh, my goodness. I think we know a little football. No. All right?
I'm sorry. You guys are confused. I'm not talking about the game. I'm ordering wings. Can I get the overloaded wings? Can I get that with extra blue cheese? Yeah. Can I get the... Tomiyasu sauce?
Yeah. I would like them burnt, please. okay.
Good God.
So, yes.
So, yeah, look, I'm happy with how everything with Arsenal is what's the last thing.
Or Martin just said Peacock needed Christian to fix their streaming issues. Yep. That's what I'm here for.
I don't know why it's not working. Again, it worked for me, thank God. How about this, Christian? Did you know this? I think we've talked about this once before. But this came up on the Complex show, which completely shocked me. Did you know that in England, they cannot watch any of the 3 p.m. matches?
I did know that. I had seen some either a YouTube video or I think Total Soccer Show did an episode on this or talked about this. But there's
that makes a lot of sense.
There's some old-timey rule of like, they can't because they want fans to go to the matches so they don't televise the games in certain areas or they don't televise them at all, something like that, right?
At all.
Right.
So Arsenal's match, none of the Arsenal fans in England could watch it. You can't even go to a pub and watch it. You can't even get a pay-per-view. There's not even a service of cable you can purchase that allows you to see it. Look, we're not fans of the guy, but Cristiano Ronaldo made his debut for Manchester United at 3 p.m. No one in England saw that outside of illegal streams.
Yeah.
Isn't that absolutely insane to you?
It is. And when I first heard it, I'm like, well, that seems like a bad move. but it's
dumb.
It seems like such a... like traditional.
We wouldn't allow it here.
No, because I mean, leave money on the table? Hell no. All right, give me the table. I'm buying your table. yeah. There's so much money
I
on it.
I now own this table because you put all this money on it. And no, don't touch anything that's on the table. I just purchased the table. It's mine. I said to the people in my group chat, my Arsenal group chat, they were like, fuck out of here. What do you mean you could watch the games? I was like, yeah. I was like, yo, I watch every single Premier League match all season. I can see every FA Cup match that's televised. Mm-hmm. And I can see every Carabao Cup that's televised. Carabao Cup match that's televised. And they're like, you must pay thousands for this.
Yes, right.
And I say, I pay $70 a year for every Premier League match, which that set off a firestorm of swear words. I was like, ESPN, I believe, is $80 for the year.
No,
that gives me.
Oh, well, yeah, it's like six. Isn't it 60? Or they raised the
maybe
price.
It's 60.
I think it's might be 60.
Yeah, that gives me every championship match and every FA Cup match, and I believe Carabao Cup.
I believe so.
Is
too,
also
yeah.
on ESPN Plus. I was like, and then Champions League is Paramount Plus. I go, I forget how much that is. It was like super cheap. I think it's like $50 for the year.
Yeah.
Because we got the introductory one. Yeah. So, and they were like, that's it. You pay that for the year. And I said, yeah. They said, in order for in England to watch a third of the Premier League matches, you have to pay something like £134 a month.
Ooh.
To watch a third. I'm like, dog, y'all getting scammed. I'll trade you for the free healthcare, but y'all getting scammed.
Yes, I have heard about that. They should really sort out capitalism out there. I don't know what's going on because they're really missing out.
But here's the thing. Even if you stick with whatever, you know, economy system you have, at the end of the day, there's people sitting there who want to see it. Wouldn't somebody go, well, if they're willing to pay $5, I would go find a service that showed, I mean, I would start a service that shows the games at 3 p.m.
Their mindset must be that if we televise the games, then fans won't buy tickets to the matches. That has to be the only concern. But what is it about 3 p.m. in particular?
Yeah.
What the hell?
I don't know.
What's going on at 3 p.m.? What's happening at 3 p.m. that all of a sudden the rules are just out the window? We're like, this is the time of the Lord. We are not allowed to make any money at this time.
Go to the game at 3 p.m.? I mean, if you said 3:01, maybe. But at 3 p.m., I don't get it.
3 p.m. is
3 p.m. is all the games at once. No. The 3 p.m. matches on all days do not get shown on TV. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it just sounds like something that came from, you know, from the Crusades or some weird rule of like something happens at 3 p.m., like a religious rule or something like that. Don't get it. Don't understand it. You would imagine that there's I'm sure people have like petitioned or tried to change this, but maybe there's a lot of.
Well, they did change it. Thank you. I believe Blue 87. Hopefully you're an NYCFC fan. That's what that means. Thanks for hanging out. Tea time, said lousy human Val. Yeah, we can't play. Can't let people watch a game while we're drinking tea. Is it siesta? What's happening out there? But we talked about this because remember they lifted that rule during the restart after COVID.
Okay.
And we talked about it a little bit and we were like, what a dumb rule. Hopefully that goes away. It did not. And I don't understand it.
Mm.
I said, dude, I'm running for office in England. Dude, my only thing, and they're like, what do you want to do about Brexit? I don't know, but we need to start playing these 3 o'clock games on TV.
How could you not win immediately at, you know, the MP seat or whatever? Because that's seems like a strong platform. Okay. Brushy87. Thank you so much for the follow. We have to talk about Manchester United against Newcastle. Manchester United wins 4-1, and obviously the main news was
is Bruno's goal. Beautiful,
which was incredible. But obviously the brace from Cristiano Ronaldo.
By the way, because of this, you are hearing a lot of English media finally bringing up the rape accusations and the trial that's coming up.
Right.
Like, finally, they're starting to talk about it, which we mentioned when he was going back to England. I'm like, yo, the English media is going to give him, like, a week of, like, the honeymoon, and then it's going to go back to just barreling at this guy's, you know, past.
Right. It's interesting because, I mean, we spoke about this last week about kind of the struggle that obviously a lot of Manchester United fans have, where they,
which you could see on Twitter, on people were like, finally a goal I could celebrate after Bruno.
Right. And it's like it's a difficult situation where they probably would not want him at the club, but they obviously want the club to succeed, and it is what it is, and it's complicated. And it's subjective, and everybody will handle it how they choose to handle it. The interesting thing is how much, you know, Manchester United, they're not dumb. They know the level of publicity that a player like this will bring, and they are really they're taking advantage of that. Every single post is about Cristiano Ronaldo. Every single, you know, whether they're...
He sold more shirts than Messi's PSG shirt.
Right. Which people brag about.
Kind of a surprise.
A li- um, No, not because the brand of Manchester United is bigger than the brand of PSG.
Robert from LA said, isn't Christian experiencing this with a player for his club too?
Yeah, but he got removed from the team immediately. So
yeah. And so did Mendy. Mendy's right now sitting behind bars, probably listening to this.
The issue with Mendy and that Manchester City will have to confront is that these issues happened in the past and he was not taken off the team. He was not suspended. So that is a bit of a bigger problem. Yeah, there were other instances in the past that this happened and that the club knew and did not suspend him. But I'm assuming when it got to the point where he actually got arrested or charged with something, then that is when they suspended him. So it isn't
which I'm
about,
sure will be their reasoning.
Right. But. And it isn't about like, you know, calling out hypocrisy. This is always the problem with almost supporting any sport. You know, you might support a team, you might have a player that does something terrible, and it like challenges your loyalty to the team because of how the situation is handled. This happens in any working environment. This is, we all have to deal with this in some form at some point in our lives. So, but it really does feel like Manchester United, they're like, all right, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on and there's chatter here. Let's put out as much positivity. Let's try to make the most we can. Who knows how long this guy's going to be here. Let's just support him. The fans want him. They like him. Some people care. Some people don't. Some people don't even know anything about what's going on.
A lot of people, even in England, don't know, because I brought it up once on the Complex show and people were like, the what? I was like, what are you talking about? They're Spiegel. You know what I mean?
It's easier to just, you know, for some people to maybe either ignore it, or maybe they're not in those circles where those kind of things are not being talked about as much. Right. So, but yeah, it really does feel like, from a marketing perspective, yo, let's get what we can. And we were talking about, will Cristiano Ronaldo actually help Manchester United? Is that the player that they need? And after, look, it is Newcastle. It's not that toughest team in the world. And also, we saw Champions League. Manchester United just lost today to your young boys. Jordan Pfaff scoring the 95th minute.
Oh, I'm sorry, didn't it? Did an American take down the rapist? Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I'm going to frame it.
Dude, he basically, the sheriff, Jordan Pfaff, came through. Newcastle, not toughest team in the world, but, I mean, for Cristiano Ronaldo is, he's good at what he does. We know that. And for him to score two goals, to be in the right place at the right time, he's clearly going to bring a level of skill and leadership when it comes to just winning trophies. And that's always the thing people always credited him for.
If we're going to talk about him strictly as a player, right? If we're going to have that conversation, then credit does need to be given about the fact that he is a perennial winner. And that does, strictly speaking of him as a player, that does change the locker room a little bit. Like, I don't know if you saw this quote from some of the people that work at Old Trafford. They said that one of the things that has changed is none of the players have touched the apple cobbler or the brownie that they put out during the player meal.
I hate, this is what I hate. You said the apple cobbler, which that's not the same thing.
No.
I mean, look, it's not that different, Alexis, but apple crumb. I'm the food guy here, so please get this right.
You tell me. Anyway, I'm going to fix the audio while you explain the food real quick. But it's because he's such a quote-unquote clean eater that he only eats like super, super healthy. All the players saw that, and you know that had to be killing Luke Shaw. You know Luke Shaw was looking over at that brownie like, come on, no one else is eating it. For once, I can have the corner. I love the corner.
I don't want to be the only one.
I mean, you know, they went through the trouble of making it. You know what I mean? I should at least, you know what? I'll take some home. I'll just take some home. I'm not going to eat it. I'm also a champion.
Remember when we went to the NYCFC training ground and we had lunch after we were done, you know, just kicking some free kicks with Goody Thorarinson and stuff like that.
I was sweating. So they let us have some of the player lunch.
Yeah.
Which it tasted great. No salt whatsoever. It tasted great. These are really great chefs that have learned to make like incredible food. I mean, these are Michelin star restaurant employed chefs prior that have learned to make really good food that is still healthy enough. But they brought us out some dessert. You remember?
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, the players don't ever get this.
Like, this is for you. They don't get access to this because we're not going to be
staff meal.
We're not going to be winning games if this is what we serve them, right?
No, we're eating. There's like chocolate and Nutella on our faces. Like, yeah, the players don't be eating like this.
So it is. So, but my frustration is that I hate these. I hate these puff pieces around.
You hate puff pastry?
I hate these puff pieces around Cristiano Ronaldo. Like, we are not totally aware of what is going on. It's like, I don't need to hear this stuff. Like, fine. Like, go and be, like applaud him, his work on the field. Fine. I get that. But then all the other stuff to make him look like a super nice guy, in light of the allegations and everything that we've seen, and also the way he's handled it as well, which is all he has ever said is that's fake news. And it's like, bruh, we've said this a million times, bruh, that is not the most convincing argument.
No, that's basically saying, I got nothing else to say when you say that.
Right.
But I ain't gonna admit it. Like how Nicki Minaj said that wasn't her. In the performance of America's Got Talent, he said, that's not me, when there's a video of her underneath. But I think, and this is the thing, you can be, RIP to Daryl Grove, something can be two things at the same time. He can be a guy that doesn't eat sweets and inspires other people to not eat sweets and takes prime care of his body, and also be someone who has assaulted somebody in the past. Right. So, and I'm not saying you have to bring up both of those subjects, but understand you're only telling half the story if you only talk about the dessert. You feel me? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you're making an article strictly about how Adolf Hitler was an artist, you might be missing a significant part of his life. You know?
He did a couple other things that you might want to at least have as a footnote. Okay,
because right.
they were a little bit dramatic, and a lot of people have not forgotten. Brushy 87, what's happening, fellas? Just popped up on my recommended. Oh, thank you, Brushy. Thank you again.
Thank you
for the follow as well. We very much appreciate it. I think a big win for Manchester United, and
let's talk about their Champions League loss though, because that was an American that took him down.
Yeah, but I mean, first it started with Aaron Wan-Bissaka with the terrible challenge. I mean, it crushed this dude's ankle. Luckily, it
if
wasn't
you didn't
more
see
serious.
It was a 50-50 ball, and Aaron Wan-Bissaka basically...
It was like a 70-30 ball.
I mean, it actually... It was 100% zero foot to ankle. it was what it was. It looked like he tried to sort of step on the front of the ball that was facing him. And then the player, I can't remember his name. I believe, was it Garcia? I forget the gentleman's name on Young Boys. Right. Kicks the ball out of position. So what's left there is the top part of his boot, like the exposed part of his ankle. And essentially by stepping on it, it actually kind of, it looks like it kind of rolls his ankle over, and the player immediately hits the ground, screaming, rolling, grabbing his ankle. Not nearly as bad as the Liverpool injury, which I can't remember the kid's name now.
Harvey Elliott.
Harvey Elliott.
That was terrible.
18 years old. Horrific. But still, just a really bad, just a really dumb play. Foul? What's the word I'm looking for here? Just dangerous. It was dangerous was the word I was looking for.
Right.
Super dangerous. So he gets a straight red card, which I have to say, you know, Real Madrid, Manchester United still looked, they look like they could hold out. They look like they could keep it 1-0, which I believe it was at the time. Right. And Young Boy scored two goals. The last one coming from Jordan Pifok, also called Sevichu on the broadcast. And
which that's not just, he does not want to be called that. And he just changed his Twitter handle to where it says my name is Pifok. Let me put it up. But yeah, he's been very clear about what his name is, and I believe it.
So his name now is Theosen Jordan Sevichu Pifok.
Yeah.
But he wants to go by Jordan Pifok. So cancel the first and the third. Just go with number two and number four. It's great to see. It's one of those things where, like, you know, this conversation, call me Pifok. I mean, how many more? Yeah. How much more clear can he make it?
It's the remix to Call Me Maybe. I love it.
Just call me Pifok. The question becomes, like, what is he good at, right? And this conversation was being had during the U.S. Men's National Team World Cup qualifying. We had three matches. Obviously, everyone knows what happened there. We looked a lot better in the third match. But in those first two matches, the question became, who could help, right? Who could help score goals? Who could help up top? And people were suggesting Jordan Pifok. And then people were commenting, like, he's really only good with long balls. And he's really only good at sort of playing that, like, you know, Jamie Vardy kind of role, not exactly the Lukaku style role that you would want in this sort of setup that the men's national team is. But that's not what I saw today. I mean, I saw someone who was constantly playing off the shoulder of the defender, but I saw someone who, if the ball was in the wings, he put himself in a, he was almost the guy who scored the first goal if it wasn't for the first player sort of putting his foot out. Like, he's putting himself in those positions pretty consistently. And I think after watching him today, one, how incredible is it that an American player takes out Manchester United in the Champions League, that you don't see very often. And two, this kind of has to start the conversation of, like, wait a minute. This is what Giassi Zardes does, that everyone gives him all this incredible credit of saying he's perfect for a Berhalter system because he does this. Well, if he's doing against Manchester United, he could do it against El Salvador.
Look, I think that the U.S. men's national team conversation is sort of a different one. We can easily get, I think in the three matches of the U.S. men's national team that we saw in these qualifiers, we had the expectations are high. Yeah, because Tyler Adams is at RB Leipzig, Weston McKennie is at Juve, Christian Pulisic is at Chelsea, and it's easy.
Well, not right now. Right now he's at the club, but he plays. Plays for Juve.
But the expectation is there. These players playing for their clubs and succeeding, you would want to see it. You would hope it builds their confidence, especially for these strikers. But doesn't mean anything to me. When you play Honduras, when you play Salvador, when you play Canada, when you play Panama, it's a different. It's not the same. It's a different story. And Jordan just needs more of those minutes, more of that experience. A lot of these players on the men's national team have really just not played in these types of games. They heard about it. They've seen past games. They don't know.
I heard about it. I haven't played.
If we're gonna
talk a theoretical who plays the right style, yada, yada, yada. What I saw today was a guy playing the right style and a guy who was demanding the ball, making space, incredible movement in the box. That's the type of player we need in a Berhalter system.
This is the problem we have, especially as U.S. men's national team fans. It is U.S. men's national team fans are essentially, we watch these players, especially strikers, like new cryptocurrency. Where it's like, oh, there's a new one in town. You gotta buy now. And it's like,
you gotta sell all your Josie. We are Pifok right now.
And then Josie has a hat trick for Toronto. And it's like, get him back. You gotta buy, stock up on Josie. Okay?
You bought Julian Green coin. You gotta sell.
Right now, we're on Pepe coin. I'm putting, I just, I just sold my house. I mortgaged my house so that I can buy more Pepecoin. And that's where we sort of are.
Buddy, applauded. We're heavy on Pepe.
Okay. Buy that. Buy that Pepe. Okay. I just need more time and more matches to see, you know, I'm not watching Young Boys games regularly. And seeing them.
Can we clip that? Can we just put that right there, please?
Okay. I watch them from time to time, a reasonable amount of Young Boys matches, okay?
From a safe distance.
All right? And it does not bring up any red flags to any government agencies, all right? Reiterate that.
I don't search for it only when it's recommended. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But do you agree or disagree with me that did you see the match today?
I only saw the goals. But I want to give Jordan great goal, a timely goal, big deal. But also Jesse Lingard passed it right to you, literally put it on the penalty spot for you to tap it in. So I don't want to go too crazy. That's exactly what we need.
He put himself in the right position. He slowed his run down. He pointed where he wanted the ball, and then he put himself in that position. That's literally what we want. And by the way, Monokuko, he said, not sure if you covered this. He said, Alexi, do you know me? Arteta started 4-2-3-1 and then switched to a 4-3-3, which I mentioned, with Partey in the pivot and ESR and Martin Odegaard in front. Do you think he'll adopt this now that Partey is fit? Absolutely. As long as Lokonga is standing next to Partey. That's the only way where I see that working, because that group needs to work together. And also, you gotta have Ben White, you gotta have Gabrielle in there, you gotta have Tierney, and the new fan favorite, you gotta have Tomiyasu. Tomiyasu moving the ball up, his ability to get to sort of spring that attack, to draw the defenders to a bit further out in the wing, his ability to sort of stay with that attack, absolutely incredible. This was the guy. I'm really happy with that $17 million purchase. But we're literally one player being injured away, or one player not being able to play because of the too many matches or whatever that case may be, where this whole system falls apart. But as long as all those starters are there, that's the system, the 4-3-3 we have to see. I'm fine with the 4-2-3-1, knowing we could switch to the 4-3-3 mid-match. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
To what we were talking about with the men's national team. Would you feel comfortable? And look, Pepe is absolutely incredible. I'm not the first to say it. Other people have said it, but I kind of agree watching him. Quite possibly the most fully featured, or ready to go striker I've seen for the men's national team in a very long time. But watching what Jordan Pefok did against Manchester United, against some incredible defenders, these are some of the best defenders in Premier League, to see what he could do against them in a pressure moment, in the Champions League, gives me all the reason to suggest this dude should be starting, or at least be given the chance to start, knowing Ricardo Pepe is right there.
Fair. He's had a couple chances. We saw him in a few of these World Cup qualifiers. Not denying that he shouldn't get an opportunity, and I would hope he gets more of them. And having a skilled and informed Ricardo Pepe.
Look in the chat real quick.
More like dub defenders, that one?
No. What's just above that?
Christian watches Young Boys. What is the full clip for the title?
They clipped it.
Thank you so much. all right. Having all these players in form, yes, I would like, ideally, I would like Pefok, Pepe, Sargent, DK, Zardes. I want them all to be playing well and in good form. But this is, it's one game. And we saw Pefok playing in the World Cup qualifiers, and it wasn't wildly impressive. He did okay. Maybe he still just needs time to adapt to the teammates.
He's 25 years old.
maybe he just needs a little bit more time and just reps and minutes with these guys. And maybe there's you know, things that Berhalter needs to sort out to get him like a better service. But I didn't, in the World Cup qualifiers, he didn't, you know, blow me away. That's all I'm saying. And a lot of the players did not up until that game against Honduras. Okay. Rob from LA said, quoting me, no, wait, it's a soccer team, I swear, FBI. Tell it to the judge, Christian. I hope they're a fan of European soccer. Yeah. All right. Don't look at my search history.
Mano Cuco said, P-Funk.
Hey, yeah, dude, yeah, let's go. People call him that. Okay. Real quick, let's do a should we take a look at the Champions League results today? Because I did watch this game, Bayern Munich against
I didn't get a chance to see this.
Saw this, and this was brutal. Boy.
Can I just give you, I'm going to read you a text that I received from our friend, Alex Pavone. Just a wildly excited, happy Canadian. So he's a very proud Canadian. And he said, Alphonso Davies makes Memphis Depay look like a turtle. That was the text I received from Alex Pavone. Man,
this turtle got mad tattoos on its neck. This is crazy. I
tell you, that turtle got bars, though. yeah, dog. And I said, dude, he does that to pretty much everybody. Yeah. But you saw it. I didn't get a chance to see it. Talk to me about what it was like to watch Barcelona try to play against the wildly stacked and consistently getting better Bayern Munich.
When was the so the first goal came in the 34th minute? This was just a deflection from Thomas Müller after he I forgot who it deflected off of, some center back, but you know they didn't really close down on him when they probably should have. It felt the first 30 minutes kind of felt like Barcelona were they like had some life and could probably figure this out. And in the past, you know, even though in the recent past, even with Messi, when they played against Bayern, they still got smashed and nothing's really changed. And Barcelona, it's really looking like they need to move forward. And maybe away from Gerard Pique, did Busquets, he got taken off of this game. Like even Sergio Roberto, like some of these dudes are just getting a little older, and Bayern is always bringing in reinforcements from within Bundesliga. You know how they always just bring in the best players.
You saw what Tyler Adams said?
I did see that. Where he
what a he quote from Tyler Adams. If you needed any reminder that Tyler Adams is from New York, this quote alone. But I mean, while you pull that up, I'm just going to say Bayern versus Barcelona right now are clubs that are going in two completely opposite directions. One that has found a way to consistently win while doing smart, good business. Just never overspending, spends within their means, yet somehow constantly wins. And then you got Barcelona, which is the exact opposite. For those of you listening, let me read what Tyler Adams said. Most people who know me just know just how competitive I am. And nothing gets me more angry than the fact that all the German clubs just sell to them. Speaking about Bayern, like, I can't. It boggles my mind, man. Which, by the way, I think does he listen to the show? We've said, like, these exact, right? Like, why do you keep selling to them?
Yeah, it's a, you know, look, clearly the, and you know, like Dayo Upamecano, who left Leipzig to go right to Bayern. I mean, they have the most money. They can afford these players, and it's not much of an issue. And there's so much incentive for the other clubs within Bundesliga to sell to them. I mean, it's just like they streamlined the process. Maybe it's a little bit more challenging to sell players to other countries, but it's you can see. Basically, I don't think Tyler Adams is going to Bayern Munich anytime soon, even if he got the opportunity.
Yeah, no, not now. you know. But also, I think it does beg the question that, like, if you're, let's say you're Dortmund, right? What was it? Who was it? Marco Reus, who who was sold to Bayern and then came back, right? Wasn't it Royce or Götze? I know Götze came back because of the how unhealthy he was.
The center back, what's his name? I know who you're talking about. But yes, there's Hummels.
Wouldn't you stand exactly? Thank you, Monokuko. Wouldn't you stand a better chance? Wouldn't you get a better value for your money by holding out and having a non, you know, a Bundesliga club kind of come up and try to give you an offer? Also, you wouldn't have to play him twice a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't understand. It's worth holding out, but it's starting to look like Bundesliga players just can't really do it outside of Bundesliga. And yeah, I'm talking about Jadon Sancho, man. Not having a great beginning of the year.
Oh, this is interesting. I think, didn't we talk about Jadon Sancho a little bit maybe two, 3 weeks ago, just about what he was going to bring to Manchester United? Because I don't think it has
apparently not his playing boots.
Yeah. I don't think it has that much to do with him coming from Bundesliga. No.
It does, because he looked great at Bundesliga. Is that a bad example of how great a player is?
Are there any Dortmund fans in the chat? Because I never thought he looked that great in Bundesliga. That's why when we were talking about his fee.
Well, hold on. Did you just take my hot take and put out an even hotter take?
I thought he was good, but I definitely thought the fact that he was English coming back to England to play definitely drove up his asking price.
If he's not English, he's 43 million, not 73.
I thought he was still okay at Dortmund. What is his skill set exactly? What do they need him to do? I expect him to have more assists than goals. I expect him to have, you know, some good 1v1 opportunities. Get past some players, but as we know, it's easier to do that in Bundesliga than it is in the Premier League. But
they don't really play; they don't defend as much as they do in Premier League. Premier League is a little bit tougher defenders,
right? But in my mind, I would like to see, the number of assists that Paul Pogba is getting. I want to see those similar numbers from Jadon Sancho. That's truly what I want to see.
What is he at? 7 assists? 4 games into the season?
It's ridiculous. I mean, the one from the goal from Bruno was like, who's doing the heavy lifting on that assist? Yeah. All right, on that goal. Yeah, yeah, really. Paul Pogba didn't really do that much.
Paul Pogba was like, I get credit for that. Damn.
I get a bonus?
To the keeper. The assist should go to the keeper for that one. Is that the one that Martial dummied?
No. This is the one. Okay. Literally just like passed it from the side to Bruno's in the middle. Nobody chose to defend him, and he shoots a rocket into the goal. So not much.
What were we saying? I forgot what I was saying. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, we're talking about Jadon Sancho. And by the way, part of my theory that these Dortmund players aren't playing as well once they leave, also Christian Pulisic. He's not lighting it up in Premier League like he was there. And I know when he started, he got the hat trick, and he's had these moments of brilliance. But you know, I haven't seen any consistent. I haven't seen the consistency out of him.
He's hurt. Like he hasn't even played a game this season, right? For Premier League, or did he play in the first one?
I believe he played a little bit. But I mean, the consistency, meaning even in the preseason, they were starting him at the wing back, basically. You know what I mean? Like, even coming out of training, you're not seeing the consistency that you would hope. You would hope someone that costs 72 million would be, you know, or whatever, I guess 60 million pounds would be like a consistent starter. That's not the kind of money you pay for someone that's not going to be a consistent starter. And regardless of injury, I mean, even when he is healthy, you know, he has to like fight for his position like he did last year and fight for a chance to get back on the pitch. So maybe it's just a Bundesliga thing.
I mean, it's not as challenging a league as the Premier League. It's the most popular league in the world. It's the most the toughest. The salaries are higher. The players are better. We all get that. And it's going to be an adjustment period for a lot of these players. Like the one player who I think will be fine and will completely adapt very quickly is probably like a player like Erling Haaland if he ever ends up in the Premier League.
Yeah, he'll be okay.
Yeah, it seems, you know, I just watching the videos of him hitting the crossbar, you're just like, okay, yeah, this guy, I think he's quite prepared. Pulisic, I think is a different story. Not the fee wasn't as high as Jadon Sancho. The expectations, he's not, because of the fee that Sancho cost, he is an immediate starter. And he has to produce very quickly. And I think with Ronaldo there, I think it'll make things a little bit. I think everybody's numbers will improve because of his presence there. So,
and here's where I'm going to disagree with you. I think Cristiano Ronaldo is the type of player that they want, not that they need. I'm not the first person to say that. I believe Adam McCullough said that. So I don't want anyone to think I'm stealing, but. He seems like they just didn't want him to go to City, right? So now they're kind of having to figure out a way to fit him in. And even when he plays striker, he does kind of go back to the left a little bit. You know what I mean? He's just like,
sure.
All right, I mean, I'm going to go where I know. And he kind of floats back a little bit. The one thing that you see is like clearly he hasn't lost his hops and he clearly can still head the ball a lot better than what we saw out of Zlatan at this age. But yeah, I don't necessarily know that he, you know, makes everyone around him better. I think he's going to be the type of player that they're going to force the ball to so that, because even they want to see him. You know, they want to see him score. They want to see him play well. You know, they're legends. He's a legend to them, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not as sold that, you know, he's the exact right fit.
Sure.
And also, if you're Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, this is it. If you can't win with this, bro, it's on you.
I mean, what can I say, bro? Everton is right on your heels, dog. Oh, I got the wrong table. I'm sorry. I was so
As you
close.
Can see there.
Everton is right there in fourth place, just two goals behind in goal differential. We got a powerhouse on our hands, folks. Get ready. All right. A new top four, a top six. Get out of there, Manchester City. Yeah. We don't need you.
Let's go, Brighton. You knew they were going to always be in sixth.
Robert from LA said, did you see how Zlatan is doing his hair now? I did not. I mean, isn't it the same bun type of situation? Or am I missing something?
Wait, hold
I know
on.
He scored.
This I need to see.
I mean, I'll look it up.
Did he cut his hair?
No, there's no way.
Yeah, I still see this slick back.
Oh,
what are we doing?
Yeah. Look at what he's doing. Look at this. The dude got a
Is he braiding
French,
his hair?
He has a French braid.
Why is this the picture? I mean, this is the most slothed on where a goalkeeper would jump to catch it. He can kick it.
I mean, he's doing like a straight up karate kick. It looks like
he's roundhousing.
Luis Alberto is petrified. Yeah, the dude is like a size like 14 boot and that could take your head off.
Well, I mean, I got to be honest with you. You're not used to seeing a foot up there. You know what I mean? You don't look up and expect to see a Buick. You know what I mean? That's over
yeah,
here.
You're not, it's, not, you're not used to seeing just like somebody a foot that high and you're seeing the bottom of it, right?
I remember I was on my scooter and I was driving in New York City. And I was on Essex right where it crosses Rivington, the Lower East Side, for those of you who don't know. And there's like a lot of traffic there because it's right by the Williamsburg Bridge and it's like a very busy part of the city at night. And I finished my spots. I'm trying to get back home. And a Jeep, a brand new Jeep, like large Jeep Wrangler, had backed up into a smaller car and just completely curled up its hood. Right. Mm-hmm. And the guy, there's people out. Everyone's recording. There's people out. And the guy's like, yo, you backed into my car. And the girl who's driving the Jeep, she's like, ain't no way you could prove that. everyone's going to think you hit me. He's like, you're on audio right now. It's like you're on video admitting, because I guess she backed up into it. So it looks like he hit her from behind. So I don't know if it was an insurance job or she just something scared her. So she backed up. And he's like, yo, you hit my car. He's like, nah, you hit me from the back. You're going to owe me money. And he's like, you're being videotaped. Like, there's proof that that's not true. He's like trying to be like, you can't say that. And she goes, and what you going to do about it? Like, she goes, you want to do something? You going to hit me? And he's like, no. And she's like, no, you should hit me. And I'm like, oh, this girl's trying to win all the lawsuits at once. All of them. That's the same thing. That guy did not expect that to be on him. And I didn't expect to see that when I drove by. That's the same thing that happens when Slanton's foot appears above you. You know what I mean?
Robert from LA said, and then six lawyers come out of the bushes asking to represent them. Yeah, dude.
It's so funny you said that because one of the people recording yelled, I'm a lawyer. Again, this is one of the best parts about being on a scooter, especially that's electric, it's whisper quiet. You hear everything in this city, and it is just every few blocks is a movie in this town.
All right. Before we wrap up, just a quick rundown of the Champions League results. Sevilla tied with RB Salzburg. Somebody mentioned, I think RB Salzburg maybe missed a penalty. I just saw a tweet.
No, they maybe missed two out of the first three.
Really?
Yeah, they were three.
There
were three.
Basically, I saw somebody saying that they should have let Brendan Aaronson take them. So how many penalties did they get to take?
Look, you could see it right there, right on the screen. At 13th minute, there was a penalty. Adeyemi missed it. Then at 21st minute, there was another penalty. Sucic sank it, right? Then at the 37th minute, another penalty. Sucic missed it.
Yikes.
So they had three penalties in the first 38 minutes, and they missed two of them. So it ends up being 1-1, even after Salzburg, Sevilla goes down a man. They get a red card for Yusuf and Nasiri in the wildest, dumbest dive you'll ever see. Did you see this?
Yes, I saw. He got a second yellow.
He like jumped between two players and twisted in the sky. And the ref is like right there. And he's just like, yeah, I don't even need VAR for this one. It was hilarious. Wild. So he gets a red card, gets booted. But Salzburg couldn't do it.
Yeah,
and actually, and Chelsea, click lineup, because I believe Aaronson got a really bad rating for this match. Unless it changed.
Brendan Aaronson,
there you go, 6.6. Yeah, he was in the he was in the fives when I was watching.
Yikes! All right, then also, but Chelsea,
that Adeyemi kid is a baller though. Watch, he's gonna go for a lot of money. Click on him real quick and hit player profile. I want to see how old he is.
Does it say how old he is?
Player details at the bottom. Click player details at the bottom.
19,
and he's, of course, he's goddamn German.
How he dare he be good. German?
I mean, they got all the good ones. when are we going to get good players?
Chelsea won 1-0 against Zenit St. Petersburg. I know a goal from Lukaku. Juve won 3-0 against Malmo. We got to talk about Juve in Serie A because they have been doing very bad. They have not won a game. They are currently in 16th place. Venezia is doing better than Juve at the moment. So this is not
America. America.
Not a great start. You don't want Weston to, you know, I feel like just these other players are bringing them down. They need to get higher quality players to surround Weston McKennie.
You know what I think would help, right? They need to, especially after a big player like Ronaldo leaves, you need to bring the team together. I suggest they go out together, like an outing. Maybe McKennie can make a few suggestions, you know, swing by Chipotle, grab a bite as a team, and then head out to the club, you know?
Let's go. It's a team building exercise. Okay.
All right. Manu Kuko said, will Gnabry come back to the arse? I would love... You know, was it, remember that question about a former player that is left?
I thought like, he was more of a boob man.
What did we say? There are tons of bachelorette parties in Italy, said Graphic Mess. Which we'll call it. He is the one player that has left Arsenal that I wish would come back. I love the way he plays. I love his demeanor. I love his energy, and I love the way he, you know, the positions that he gets himself in. Not the perfect player, certainly.
Who is the perfect player, Alexis? Please give me an example of the perfect player.
I mean, if I had to pick, just after prom. Just a perfect player. You feel
there
me?
There we go. Okay.
You know, hide your girls. Even more than Ramsey and Ozil? Yeah, yeah. Ozil, I was done with. Ramsey, you know, I'd love to have back Wilshere just for the vibes. But Serge Gnabry is the one that I felt when he left hurt the most because he said, I don't think I'm going to get an opportunity here and I want to leave. And I think he was part of that change of the perception of Arsenal is not the place for the youth player to develop and get in the first team, which we are getting back. Look out for a kid named Charlie Patino. The kid's incredible.
Oh, yeah, I have seen that. This is another just wildly irresponsible thing of Arsenal social media to do. They start building up this child to already start getting ready to disappoint you Arsenal fans, bro. It is ridiculous.
And Gideon Zalalem was one of them. Look how that worked out.
Charlie Patino, I think he runs a pizzeria on Route 17. Yeah, is his name?
Yeah, there's a guy going, why are they talking about me? What Arsenal? I promised the judge I'd get rid of all the guns.
All right, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in to another Prem Show. Thank you, everybody on Twitch. Thank you for dealing with the technical issues in the beginning of the show, but I'll sort all that out in the future. We're gonna have the highest quality, highest level stream real soon. I promise. Once I sort this stuff out,
I promise. I promise.
So, Patino is Spanish. Oh, I thought it was Pitino, but no, it's Patino.
Patino skating.
Patinar, but yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I did not know you were Spanish. All right, all good. So
what kind of name? How'd you get Charlie? He must be Carlos Patino.
No, isn't it? Maybe I misread the name.
He goes by Charlie.
Charlie, yeah, Charlie Patino, Patino, Charlie Patino, uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
He grew up in, he was born in Watford. What you talking about, Spanish? Oh, no. He's both English and Spanish.
Whoa.
Wow.
But you grew up in Watford, you English, bro. You ain't hiding.
Yo, give me the Serrano hot, mate. You call this a croqueta? Nah, blood. Nah, blood. This ain't no croquettes on blood.
A couple things real quick. Just a reminder, we're giving away this Columbus Crew kit on Twitter, at Soccer Coolings. Go there right now if you'd like to win. Signed by the MLS Cup champions of 2020. Every player signed
pass it. Pass that Manchego, you wanker.
You know, that's what everybody says. We know that.
Yeah. Oh, wow. There must be a lot of Spaniards in the room.
So, yes, autographed by all the Columbus Crew, MLS Cup winning Columbus Crew. If you'd like to win it, go to our Twitter right now at Soccer Cooligans. And all you got to do is retweet and comment. With the tweet hashtag kick childhood cancer. We're kind of trying to, MLS is doing a campaign for September to raise money for a childhood cancer charity. So we figured, hey, why not try to help out and be a part of it? So go to our Twitter, right now and try to win this Columbus Crew autographed jersey by the MLS Cup champions of 2020. Okay, the other thing is check out our live, our show, our Fubo TV show. If anybody's new here, we have a show on Fubo TV every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This Thursday, we have DC United winger Paul Arriola. Paul Arriola joins us.
Wow.
Super fun. Great, great dude. We had a great, fun conversation with him. Obviously, plays on the U.S. Men's National Team as well. Just recently won, you know, Nations League and Gold Cup. Great, great dude. So check that out. Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Fubo Sports Network. You can watch on the Fubo TV app, or you can stream for free at FuboSportsNetwork.com. And also make sure to subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel, because the full interviews of after they air live there, and more clips and full episodes of the show. Or you can listen to the podcast per usual. The Cool Against podcast is always available to you. Okay. Anything else that I missed? I think we're good to go.
Yeah. Hey, follow my Arsenal YouTube channel, youtube.com/AlexisGuerreros, AlexisGuerreros. I'm trying to put 2 to 3 videos up a week. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you're enjoying them. That'd be a lot of fun, especially if you're an Arsenal fan.
Mm-hmm. Robert asked this. I want to make sure to get to it. Which Champions League game are we watching tomorrow? We got Club Brugge against PSG, Manchester City against RB Leipzig, Atletico Madrid contra FC Porto, Liverpool Milan, Besiktas Dortmund, Sporting Club Portugal against Ajax, FC Sheriff against Shakhtar Donetsk,
what?
And Inter FC Sheriff. Everybody knows about FC Sheriff.
I would love. They're not even from a country. Did you know that?
Yeah, I think we were talking about this a little bit.
Yeah, they're from like the disputed, the name of the place is like the disputed land between Moldova and somewhere else. It's like that's the official place they're from. I'll probably be doing a watch along on the Complex show. That seems like probably what's going to happen, just based on the timing of some of these.
Which one will it be?
Well, I'm on at 2:30, so probably the PSG Club Brugge or Man City RB Leipzig or Milan Inter, Liverpool.
Probably, yeah. I feel like there will probably be one of the Premier League teams, most likely.
Yeah.
But who knows? All right, so yeah, tune into that. The twitch.tv/complex, and you can catch Alexis with Flex watching one of these games on Wednesday. So, all right.
Let's go.
Everybody. We wish you nothing but the absolute best. Thank you so much for sticking with us. We'll be back next week. A lot of big things planned, so make sure you stick with the Cooligans, everybody. So, all right, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!